Welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show.
Jack Del Rio Show.
Your one-hour conversation with the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
You're going to be tested. There's going to be adversity. How you persevere says a lot about what you're going to be as a team.
The Jack Del Rio Show is brought to you by Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company, Ticket Exchange, and Community First Credit Union. To talk to the coach, dial 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Or from outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars.
The voice.
Brian Sexton.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show. Tuesday night, the final show of 2009. Jaguars 7-8 ahead to play the Cleveland Browns on Sunday to finish out this season. We'll talk a little big picture this evening. We'll give you a little playoff tidbit here or there as well. Not with the head coach at this point. We hope to be joined by him. There he is right now in the relative near future. Also, Pro Bowl balloting is in, and tonight we expect that Maurice Jones-Drew will be named to the Pro Bowl. We don't know for sure, although we're pretty darn certain. Do we know? Is he?
We don't know yet. Not until 7 o'clock do we officially.
Yeah, but it's all over the board, guys who are showing up. So, you know, I mean, why not give it away now? Have you told your team yet?
I won't see the team until the morning.
Okay. So we don't have to worry about that one. So he's in, right?
Hopefully. He deserves it.
All right. I'm going to tell you he's going to make it, folks. We'll just leave
it. There's a strong likelihood.
Yeah, I think there's a really strong likelihood that Maurice will be in the show. It's in Miami this year, so maybe some folks will make it down there to see him play. He's had a phenomenal year. Jaguars have as well, with a shot to finish 8-8, and that's not going to make any coach jump for joy, but I think you said it best yesterday, Coach, in the news conference, that on Sunday you had Chris Harrington on the field rushing the passer with Jeremy Navarre, Derek Cox, William Middleton. I mean, you had Russell Allen out there against Tom Brady, who is maybe the best quarterback this league has seen since Joe Montana and Troy Aikman. No disrespect intended to any other great quarterbacks, but this is a special guy. And when you have that lined up, it's a challenge. It's a huge challenge. And so when you look at your football team, big picture here, to have a shot to finish 8-8 with as many rookies, 16, the most in the NFL, and 32 new faces on your roster. Heck, there's only 16 players on the roster, who were here for your last game against Cleveland, and that was Halloween weekend last year. So I think that puts it into pretty good perspective, don't you think?
Really?
16. We're not talking about 16 players from when you took over. We're talking about 16 players who were here for, what, week 7 or 8 last season. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well,
so
there's been a dramatic, you know, turnover.
Yeah.
There has. And I think you've seen many of the young players step forward and do some good things this year, and that bodes well for the future.
Yeah, I know we'll talk about the future starting next week and beyond with this. Cleveland is obviously first up. By the way, folks, if you'd like to join us on the program this evening, I don't mean to exclude you, 355-NFL-1, 800-355-NFL-1. And just an update for those listeners out there who are fans of Ask Vic and Vic Ketchman. Here he's doing very well. Had a second stint put in today and is recuperating from the mild heart attack that he suffered last Friday. Probably won't be. Have you talked to him today?
I spoke to him this morning.
Did you? Okay.
And
talked to him last evening.
Prior to the procedure that he was going to go through today.
Okay. So the first one was a success, I know.
Hopefully it went well, and he's resting easy right now.
Comfortably,
and he'll be back. He's talking about getting back to work. I said, just take the time to
deep breath there, big boy.
Just heal up.
We'll do okay back without you, but hopefully we'll get him back in the next couple of weeks. So, speaking of getting guys back, I'm sorry, did I run up? Do you have something to say?
Okay. No.
You got a bunch of guys who are not likely to play. Mercedes Lewis is, I think you said, not going to play on Sunday. Had the cracked bone below his eye.
Correct.
A couple of other guys. T. Ellison with the knee, I think it was. Any update on Rasheen or Torrey at this point, or you just have to wait and see on that?
No, they'll be wait and see.
Okay. So you have to make some roster moves this week? You're going to end up with 18 or 19 rookies?
I don't think so.
No? Just play it by
ear.
We have some inactives anyway.
We don't have anything planned at this point. It could change before the week's out, but I think we have enough to get to the game.
Yeah. Well, it means some other guys, though. Tyquan Underwood, perhaps, if Torrey's not able to go, get some time.
Yeah.
You got a lot of young corners out there, so it means that you're going up to Cleveland to rearrange your things even more. I mean, you've been doing it all season long.
We'll continue. And it looks like, the forecast looks like we're going to get some of that.
I knew you were going to say that.
Some of that chilly weather, some of that, you know, potential for snow. Be nice and blustery up there. I think, you know, we don't get that down here, so I think the guys are looking forward to that.
Well, and look, you go in 7-8. The Browns come in 4-11, but they're coming in on a three-game winning streak. They've beaten the Steelers and the Chiefs, and last week beat the Raiders. So, you know, you got a team that's trying to break a losing streak against a team that's got a winning streak going. Should be a fun way to end the season.
They're playing a very physical brand of football right now. They are pounding the rock. I mean, they are.
Who is this Jerome Harrison kid that's exploded the last few weeks?
He was thrust into action when Jamal Lewis went down.
Right.
And with the opportunity, he's just exploded upon the scene.
He's 5'9", 205 pounds. Reminds us of somebody around here. And has had a couple of really big games. Had three touchdowns, I think, against Kansas City a few weeks ago. So he's a guy that has a nose for the end zone. He's going to keep you busy.
Yeah, he's done a nice job. They're doing a good job blocking. They're running a lot of power football. I mean, power football right at you. You know, they ran it, I believe, 50 times this past weekend. I mean, they're really, you know, they're toting the rock and they're pounding it up in there. So
one of those chin strap pride type games.
Yeah, it'll definitely be one of those.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back more with the head coach of the Jaguars and you. 355-NFL-1 phone lines are filling up. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Well, when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 7 Jacksonville location. Stein Mart, once you go, you get it. One more week for the Jaguars. And I was incorrect at the end of the radio broadcast on Sunday. I thought because you had an 8th loss, it eliminated you like it did the Titans, who had lost to the Chargers, but that's not the case. Have you seen the scenarios?
Yes.
Let me run through it.
My understanding is a pretty simple one. It's, first of all, we have to win.
You have to beat the Browns.
Okay, so win.
When nothing happens, right.
Win, and then we have to have 4 of 5 teams
right.
lose.
Bengals beat the Jets. Raiders beat the Ravens. Chiefs beat the Broncos. Patriots beat the Texans. And the Dolphins beat the Steelers. 4 of those things have to happen.
Right.
So the Bengals, Raiders, Chiefs, Pats, Dolphins, 4 of those teams have to win. If that happens, you're in.
And we win.
And you win. Yeah, you got to win. I mean, that's just a prereq.
First of all, we've just got to win just to win. We had the close game at with Miami here.
4-point loss.
Close game with the Colts here.
4-point loss.
And then we go and get, you know, take a beat down in New England. And so, yeah, I mean, we had a chance to be in much better shape right now, but we're not. This is where we are. And we just want to close out with a win.
So,
and then hope the other stuff, but really we just want to close out with
you know game. And I mean, call me the optimist, it's what I am, but we've been talking. I mean, at least we can have this conversation, however brief it is, however remote it may seem to anyone listening out there. We can have this conversation in week 17. I mean, it's, to me,
kind of like Jim Carrey. I feel like Jim
from Dumb and Dumber.
I saw that movie the other night. So you're telling me we
one in a million
I have a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the point is, look, I mean, we all know what this season was going to be. It was going to be, you know, refitting your locker room, getting it where you wanted to, finding young players to lead you to the future. I mean, rebuilding. And yet, here you are in week 17 with the opportunity to at least say, if this happens and that happens, I think that's still remarkable.
Well,
it's my opinion.
There is a chance.
Yeah.
And there has, I mean, I... As much as one of my good buddies, you know, tried to take me down a different road yesterday, I had to cling to the fact that, you know, this, you cannot discount all of the effort that's gone into what this year has been.
Right.
And you just can't. Now, we're never going to be accepting of it. We're never going to be excuse makers if things don't go well. You know, we there's a standard here of what we're looking for, and we're going to continue to strive for that. But when you take everything and look at everything that's occurred And you've got to look at what we've been able to do and say, okay, that there's a reason why that happened. And the reason is the commitment, the effort, the energy, all the things that we committed to.
Correct.
Gave us a chance. And that's the good part, and that's the part you want to build on.
Well, and, you know, you've seen these spotting boards that Logs and I use, and we've got it color-coded. And on this chart that we use with the Jaguars' defense against the opponent's offense, and when you flip it over, it's the reverse, green signifies rookie. Well, let me just look at all the green. I mean, give me a break.
Is that a Christmas tree? What is that?
No, there's just a lot of green. There's just so much of it out there. Hard to get away from the fact that there are a lot of rookies on this roster and that the future appears very bright when you look at names that stand out, like those two rookie tackles and Terrence Knighton. And am I wrong? Is Russell Allen a player?
Well, Russell Allen is a undrafted college free agent that has earned his way onto this football team, and ideally he would have been a backup special teams player. Now, he's ended up starting and gaining a lot of experience, and he's done some solid things. You know, you're not ready to, like, clear a Pro Bowl spot for him.
Well, no, but...
But has he come in and played well and exceeded expectations? I think the fact that he made the team was exceeding expectations.
Right.
So he's had a strong year, and I think he's going to get better. And so he's definitely, you know, a bright spot, a guy that, you know, made the most of his opportunity as an undrafted player. And found his way into the starting lineup a few Sundays for us.
And again, not specific to Russell and to get too far ahead of his career, but there have been undrafted free agents who have gone on to tremendous careers. The one that stands out the most is a former teammate of yours in Minnesota, John Randall.
Oh, yeah, Johnny.
Undrafted, and he's one of the great defensive tackles of the last 20 years.
You talk about a fun guy to play with.
I'm sure.
He was.
I'm sure.
He was incredible.
Yeah, so when you look at all the undrafted guys, you've got, what, five or six on your roster right now. And the chance that all of them will go on to have a long career is slim, but
right,
you've got
right.
some guys that at least have a shot. And that's what you ask for. And yeah. Brock Bolin's undrafted. He's been up the last couple of weeks. How's he done for you? And I know he's not Greg Jones, but...
Right, no, he's not Greg Jones, but he's done a nice job filling in and playing his role and... You know, he can continue to grow in our system and gain a little strength, a little size, and with the experience, and, you know, hopefully, you know, do some things for us down the road.
Grab a couple of phone calls here before our next break. 355-NFL-1, if you would like to join us on the program. 355-6351. Let's grab Jeff, who joins us from the Argyle area over across the river in Orange Park. Hello, Jeff. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, sir? Nice game against the Colts. Hope you went up in Cleveland, Coach. I got a couple of comments. First one is, why did Brian Witherspoon get cut? And I haven't been keeping up with that deal there. And then my second comment is, I have an idea how to fill the stadium next year, if I can say that.
Go ahead. Give us the second one first.
Okay. And this is just my opinion. I'm not asking anybody to agree, and I know you all can fill in the blanks. But what the Jags need to do, if they can, is reacquire Fred Taylor from the Patriots, if they can, and Mark Brunell as a backup from New Orleans. And then if they can draft Tim Tebow and Fernandez from the Gators and Riley Cooper, and I think they'll have a lot of good preseason ticket sales. That's just my opinion, and I'll listen off air. Thanks a lot.
Okay. You want me to tackle this one? I mean, we get it on Wednesdays all the time.
I appreciate Jeff calling in and sharing his thoughts with us.
How about Brian Witherspoon first?
Brian Witherspoon was an undrafted college free agent that made our team, that was a return specialist. We had hopes for him developing at corner. It really just became apparent that it wasn't going to happen here for us, and we felt Mike Thomas was a better returner, so we elected to make that decision.
And with respect to the old Jaguars, there's a time for everyone to move on, and with respect to all the Gators, the National Football League, you draft the best player available. You're not going to sell all the tickets to all the Gator fans. It's just not going to happen. So we'll leave it at that. Appreciate the phone call, though, Jeff. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's take a break. We'll come back. More callers on the line when we return to the Jack Del Rio Show on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Winn-Dixie has everything you need for holiday entertaining. Check out their fully cooked turkey and ham dinners. Winn-Dixie, fresh checked every day. Reminds me to say Happy New Year to all of you, since we will not be back on the air here on the network until Sunday, which will be January the 3rd. Happy New Year, Coach.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
And to all of you listening, 355-NFL1.
We got a question I think a guy named Greg wants to know what's new for 2010.
All right, let's go to Greg. On the west side of town. Hello, Greg.
Hey, Coach, how you doing this evening?
Good. Good evening, Greg.
Hey, I don't know if you remember me, but you brought me down during the Buffalo game to hang out on the sidelines and talk to you and the guys and after our call of the show.
That worked out pretty well, didn't it?
Yes, it did. It did indeed. I just wanted to call in and just in general tell you thanks for the great season. Whether we made the playoffs or not, it really doesn't matter at this point. It's been a great season. I think we overachieved, and I really see a great future coming up for this team in the next couple of years, because we have very sound building blocks right now that we're going to keep building on, and you know, eventually that pass rush is going to get there, and we're going to be a significant force in the AFC South to contend with. Colts better be scared, because we're coming, and it's going to be an interesting next couple of years. So.
Sure.
Look forward to seeing you next year, and thanks for the great season.
Thank you, Greg. I appreciate it very much. Thanks for your support, and appreciate you calling in tonight, and Happy New Year to you. We're excited about, you know, the future going forward. I think for us, you know, we want to start the new year with a win in Cleveland. I mean, that's number one on our agenda right now, and I think as we work through this weekend and then, you know, whatever occurs, in terms of, you know, how the season finishes and where the final rankings places you, I think from that standpoint, then I assure you, we'll dig right in and after a short break, jump right into making this team better going forward and doing everything we can, much like we did last year, where, you know, if you look at it, and again, there'll be more time to reflect on things, but if you look at what was undertaken, I think, you know, Gene Smith and his staff and me and our staff and Wayne and all the other people that are here in this building, you know, we kind of rolled up our sleeves and said we've got a lot to do, and we could kind of do it gradually over the next couple of years, or we could really be aggressive and take a big whack at it right now. And that's really the move that we took, knowing that would help us get to where we want to be sooner. And so kind of went through some of the pain all at once, as opposed to doing it gradually over a number of years. You know, with that, we fought our tails off and gave ourselves an opportunity despite doing all that. And that's why I continue to be, you know, optimistic and proud of that effort.
355-NFL1, 355-6351. You talked a little bit earlier about the Browns and what you've seen on tape and the physical brand of football that's helped them put together a three-game winning streak. How are they playing defense without that big guy in the middle, Sean Rogers? They still playing it basically the same way? Because I remember how dominant he was here last year.
Yeah, he's
gone.
Sean Rogers. Yeah, he's injured, and he's one of the better big men in the league. So it hurts to have him not there. But I think what they have done is they played well. They do a lot of trickery, a lot of, you know, blitzing and disguising and moving around and trying to fool you into some things to make up for missing a big guy like that. I mean, and you need to do that. And you know, they've played well in spurts. I mean, they played well, you know, when they needed to and shut down a very good Ben Roethlisberger and a Steeler offense,
yeah,
and won a big game there. That kind of jump-started the last 3 weeks for them have been really good, and I think they gained a little confidence from that effort on Thursday night.
355-NFL1. Let's grab a couple of phone calls here. Let's go to Sonny, who joins us on his mobile phone. Sonny, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Good evening. Coach, I want to echo the last caller as well. You know, I'm really excited about the future, and I think you guys have done a great job this year. Don't let Vito Stellino and those guys in the newspaper get you down, because most of the fans are truly behind you guys. And of course, people get frustrated when we lose. That's what fans do. I mean, you know, you don't think they're frustrated in Minnesota right now? I mean, that doesn't mean we don't love the team and we don't love the coaching staff, and I think you guys have done a great job. My question to you, and it's more of a comment that you can comment on, is the way this little trend that's occurred in the NFL the last couple of years, where teams like Indianapolis and New England and New Orleans, who are way out in front at the end of the season, rest their players, with the last couple of weeks to go. And, I personally have no problem with doing that. They've earned that right to do it. But I don't think they should do that when they're playing meaningful games against other teams who are fighting for playoff position, because that's not fair to the other teams that are out there as well, who had to play the Colts when they played everybody, or had to play New England when Tom Brady was playing. I don't find that to be fair, and I'm just curious if you feel like that somehow upsets the integrity of the league. And sort of examples of what might happen this week, New England probably won't play anybody against Houston, yet they played everybody against us, and we saw what happened. And same thing with the Colts. They played everybody against us, and we lost in the last minute. Where they played nobody against the Jets, and the Jets beat them. And now the Jets have the inside track to the playoffs, and I find that to be unfair. I'm just curious what you think about that.
All right. Well, I think a couple things. First, I work with Bill Polian, on the competition committee, and I've served on that committee now for a few years, and I've gotten to know Bill well, and I know his feelings on this are that he's earned that, and I agree with him. I think, each team earns the right to finish the season how they'd like to put themselves in position to contend for a world championship. So I think they've earned that right. And in terms of fairness, I think it's incumbent on the teams involved to win enough to put themselves in position to not be relying on somebody else to get knocked off for you at this time of year. And that's kind of the luck of the draw. I really, now there's a part of me that says as a fan that I'd love to see teams go for it each and every week. But the reality of the situation is, there's a seeding that's going to take place. And once you can no longer impact that seeding, the next most important thing for you as a football organization is to make sure that you're entering that postseason as healthy as possible, as ready to roll as possible. And you have to make that decision, and that's what you earn. That's the right you have once you've earned it, and so I think it's playing out accordingly.
Well, and that's just honesty from your part, because your team has had the chance to stay in control of the destiny the last couple of weeks, and a couple of losses has taken that from you. So what you're saying is...
A couple of wins put us in position for it, a couple of losses took it away from you, and that's the nature of the league.
That's what it is.
The teams like the Colts that go off and win 14 in a row, they've earned that right. And so, I can't sit here and say, oh, gee, the Jets got to play without Peyton. And, hey, that's the luck of the draw. We can't, as an organization, sit around and talk about things like that. I think you have to recognize that what you really want to be is the team like Indy that's way out in front, and then you can choose to do it how you'd like down the stretch.
Now, having said that, I did not think it was a smart decision for Jim Caldwell, after they had clinched the whole darn thing, to play Peyton Manning too much. I mean, I was glad he played here because it was a great game. But, that's what if Peyton Manning gets Derek Harvey's treatment of Matt Schaub? All of a sudden now you've got a quarterback that,
right,
with a bad shoulder, and you've spent all season preparing to play for the Super Bowl, not to be 16-0. We're not the BCS. It's the NFL.
Now, see, I didn't think that during the game when we played in New England, but when they were in charge, late in the second half and Tom Brady went for a quarterback sneak.
Yeah.
And actually, Russell
said that on the radio too.
Russell Allen came in and actually drilled him in the leg, and it wasn't like he was trying to, but he was near the knee. And watching on film, like, oh my gosh, can you imagine what would have happened if they'd lost Tom there?
Up 35-7.
Yeah, and game well in hand. I mean, they'd whipped us already. So those are the kinds of things that as coaches you have to deal with, and we all do the best we can because we want to win, we want to have momentum, you want to play well. You want to put on a good show, and that's, believe me, that's one of the major concerns I have about extending the season. I know there's talk about going to 18 games. That's one of the concerns I have,
right,
is that we're playing games already, and there are one or two games where teams have it locked up. Well, imagine the Colts, if they're 14-0, there's an 18-game schedule. Now, all of a sudden, are they resting the whole month?
Yeah, it does take away from the competitiveness and the entertainment value.
Yeah.
Hey, along those lines, a couple years ago, Bill Belichick lost a game late and was able to dictate, essentially, that you were coming in to be the opponent, okay, instead of, I think it was San Diego. And Bill Belichick has the same thing right here, where he can go lose to Houston and drop from the third spot to the fourth spot, which means he could, with a win in the wild card game, go to Indy instead of San Diego, right? Instead of going all the way across the country, go to Indy where you've played well. I mean, I know this is very theoretical.
Well, I think beyond that, the point that I've brought up, I mean, I have made this point, is that not only that, but they can also better their draft position.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a little more manipulative than.
Well, that's the part that I think should be recognized.
Yeah,
there is that.
Nothing you can do about it, but it is what, because they have the right to sit their guys. But I mean, it's pretty clear he's making the chance to go
earn
play
that.
Indy.
You earn that right.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
We take a break. Come back with more of the Jack Del Rio Show after this timeout on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Well, this portion of the Jack Del Rio Show is brought to you by North Florida's Labor Union, a job done on time and on budget. That's the union way. Brian Sexton back with the head coach of the Jaguars, Jack Del Rio. Let's grab a couple of phone calls here as we roll along. Let's grab Vin, who joins us from the South Side. Hello, Vin. Welcome to the show. Vin, are you with us? Sounds like he's there, but 3-2-1, Vin. You are gonzo. Appreciate you calling, however. Diana's been holding in Green Cove. Diana, welcome to the show.
Hi. I just wanted to say thanks for taking my call, and good job to Coach. And I, first of all, I'm one of the mothers that, single mothers, that cannot afford every game. And the highlight, Jack Del Rio gave my son and I tickets last year to Wisconsin, and it was the highlight of his life and mine. And unfortunately, we won't be able to go to games because I can't afford it. But it, my point is, it angers me that people, they get on the bandwagon when the Jags are doing good, they're great. When they're not doing so good, they trash them. And I can't stand that, because you always stand behind your team.
Diana, we certainly appreciate your phone call this evening. 355-NFL1. 355-6351. We move along. Chip joins us from Arlington. Hello, Chip. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you doing tonight?
Good.
Hey, I want to say my wife and I actually just started. This is our first year as season ticket holders, and we had an absolute blast. We actually got our first tickets from my in-laws, and while they were out of town, and we just had such a fun time watching the games, we just decided to go ahead and purchase tickets. But, so I just want to say thanks, Coach, for a great year, and actually I did a lot better job than I expected against Indianapolis. I mean, I thought for sure they were having such a great year, they were going to hold us way down, but we just fought the good fight. And I just want to hats off to you for that one. Even though we didn't win, it was just an exciting game. I just really enjoyed watching it, and I can't wait to be a season ticket holder next year as well, and we definitely plan on doing that. One quick follow-up question, if I could, is everybody always rants and raves about ticket sales and things of that nature, and it's one thing to sell tickets, but what are the Jaguars, you know, really doing to sell tickets? What's the sales staff doing? That's the one thing I've never really heard anyone talk about.
Appreciate the question, but we're going to stick with football this evening, and that's something we'll talk about on Jaguars this week on Wednesday nights, all right?
Very good.
All right, appreciate the phone call.
That's a good call, though. I appreciate the fact that he came out and he had a great time, and he's going to be a season ticket holder, you know, going forward. That's outstanding to hear. And we appreciate the support very much. You're right. It's not a question for me tonight. No. I know there are other people that are better prepared to answer that question and handle that, but certainly appreciate the call.
Well, these calls are getting so hostile. We may have to do a poll-in. Did you hear what he did with his radio show the other night?
No.
The calls were really hostile. I mean, really hostile. So they pulled the plug and said, show's over, folks.
Really?
Yeah. He got up and left. Huh. See you later. Not going polling in here, folks.
See, we don't have to go polling. I just leave it up to you and Joe.
355-NFL1. Let's take a break. We'll come back more of the Jack Del Rio Show after this quick timeout on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. My buddy Roger Martin up in Cherryville, North Carolina. Hello, Roger. Coach, what you don't know,
Brian,
about this,
how you doing?
This gentleman is that I'm doing great. I'm telling Coach about you. He drives down from Cherryville for every home game. What is that, Roger, about a 7-hour drive?
About that.
really
about that
rabid
and
Jaguars
and I listen to you guys on the way in, and it's no big deal and whatnot. Got a question for Coach. Coach.
Yes.
Number one, I guess it isn't a question. I want you to know how much we appreciate all the crap you go through. And we think you're doing a great job. Number two, the question is, do we have amongst our young men that have come on board a Wes Welker?
Well, we're going to find out. I think if you look at the history of Wes Welker, he was either a late draft pick.
Fifth round pick.
Okay, late draft pick by the Miami Dolphins, and then given up for a third round pick to the New England Patriots. And it wasn't, you know, he didn't burst upon the scene as a rookie and do it. I think it took a few years, and then he got hooked up with Tom Brady in the system where they're using him as a slot guy, and he's become a great player. I don't know that I would try and put that label on a guy, but I do think in Mike Thomas we do have an exciting young prospect that can play the slot and can do some things, some of those similar things for us. I'm not going to put him in that category. Nowhere has he earned that type of, you know, praise. But I do think he shows some change of pace, change of direction, some explosiveness, some competitiveness, some savvy. I think he's got a chance to do some of those things for us in that mold.
The knowledge that Brady has of where Welker is at all times, I was just astounding.
Yeah.
I mean, he's looking right and waiting for something to happen, and when it doesn't, I mean, he's the ball is almost gone before his body is turned back the other way, and Welker's right there. It's almost uncanny.
Yeah, that's a special combination. That's his. I mean, what are they now with the 13 catches? They went with 109.
Yeah,
they're at 122,
which is the most
with another game to play.
Right. I mean, the NFL record, by the way, is 143, which Marvin Harrison said a few years ago. I mean, it would seem to me like he's going to get to second all time for catches in a season, which would put him ahead of Herman Moore. And
he missed a game or two.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's tremendous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to answer the question, I you know, that's a lot to ask to find the next Wes Welker, but I think we have a guy who we can utilize in a similar capacity and get some of those things out of him, and that's really what we are doing because Mike plays slot for us and does some returning for us, so it's very similar to Wes's role, just not quite as accomplished.
All right, we appreciate the call, Roger. We've got to go. We've got to take a break. We'll come back with
Thank
another
God,
segment
guys.
With the head coach. Take care, Roger. Happy New Year. After this, on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. We have time for one quick call. All right, let's grab Ray, who's holding on with a thought on fourth down and a yard. Hello, Ray. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Coach, let me start by saying I've been a season ticket holder for 12 years. I have 3 club seats, and I love the Jaguars. I even grew a beard for unity. But let me get in your head for 1 second. You're 4th-and-1 on your own 35 in a game that means so much. And you decide to go for it, even if you make the first down, that don't mean you're going to score. The odds are still like 8-2 that you ain't going to score from there. So, and if you miss it, you almost give the game away. You inflate their ego and you deflate ours. What were you thinking?
Well, Ray, I appreciate your support. I really do. I couldn't wait to get your call because I think you need to hear exactly what is in my head. And this is it, really. As a football team, if we're going to go up and beat the New England Patriots, we've got to be able to convert and move the ball there and possess the ball and go down and get points. We've got to. If you're going to play, if you think you're going to play the Patriots team, who had basically just poured through our defense to go down. Now, we got a fortunate pull-out fumble right before they scored, but we were going to have trouble slowing them down. We had to possess the ball and score points to beat that football team, much like you saw us do against Indy. So the only thing that really ought to be questioned is, you know, how did we stay in a bad play when we saw it was going to be tough sledding? We got to the line. It was not a good look. If there's anything, I would have liked to have used a timeout there and got a better plan of attack there on that 4th-and-1. But in terms of going for it there, we've got to be able to make that play, possess the ball, score points to beat the New England Patriots. And there's no question in my mind about it. And I know there's risk involved. I understand that, and that's why that's why I'm the head coach. I make those calls. But if I could do it again tomorrow, I'd do it exactly the same way. I might just pick a different play.
855-NFL-1. Ray, we certainly appreciate the call. We've got time for one more. Let's grab Dave down in St. Augustine. Dave, I hate to put you on the clock, but if you could be as expeditious as possible.
No problem. I'm glad you got to me. Gentlemen, thanks for taking my call. Coach, I just wanted to say that it would make the season a complete success if we can go up there and kick Cleveland's butt. Really proud of the team this year. You know, you guys have fought hard. I know why you went for it on fourth down. The people with brains do. One thing I want to get your take. How bad was that push-off on the first touchdown they scored against Justin Durant? It was so bad they wouldn't even show the replay.
It was the second touchdown. It was the throw that he made to Chris Baker.
After the interception, it was returned back, yeah. Well, Dave, first of all, appreciate your support. You're just in the National Football League. If a DB had done that to an offensive player, that would have the flags would have been raining down on the guy. Okay, but an offensive player is not going to get called for that because he did not use his hand and extend his arm and push off. I mean, he nudged him with his elbow and he got himself a little separation. I think Justin's got to play through that. He's got to try and find a way to locate the ball and defend that. And that was a tough play, but we've got to do a little better job defending there. And I credit the New England tight end for doing a nice job of getting a push but not being blatant with it. It wasn't – I mean, when you watch the tape, when you saw it live, it looked like, yeah, there should have been maybe a call there. But when you watch the tape, it just really wasn't an extension of the hand and arm there that would normally, you know, get yourself a call there. So I understand your frustration. Believe me, I felt it on Sunday when I looked at the tape. I didn't feel quite as bad about it. I think that's something we've got to fight our way through.
All right, Dave, we certainly appreciate the call. We're just flat out of time. We've got to get one break in, and I'll come back and say Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year. Looking forward to 2010.
Absolutely. Happy New Year to you, Coach. Best of luck on Sunday against the Cleveland Browns. And we'll take a break and come back and wrap the show up after this on Jaguars Radio. All right, back to wrap things up here on the Jack Del Rio Show. One game left to play. Jaguars have a shot at 8-8. My personal opinion is that's a successful season for Gene Smith and Jack Del Rio. Look, I understand. They had a shot at Miami. They had a shot at the Colts. I never really thought they had a tremendous shot at Tom Brady with the playoffs on the line, not with his record in December at home. I just didn't see that. But they had a shot at a couple others. If they beat Miami, you have something to say?
I totally disagree with you.
What do you
mean? We don't have much time.
You don't think it's a successful season at 8-8?
No, it's successful at the beginning of the season. But when you're 6-4, it's not successful.
But when you look at this football team and the rookies that they're playing.
I don't know.
If I told you 8-8 before the season and that you'd finish
with 6... Yes, you're right. Before the season.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think you have to remember what the season was all along. The season was never a playoff-chasing season. This season was about retooling the roster for the future.
6-4 was fun.
Hey, look, they fell below 500 for the first time since November 1st. I mean, you've had 2 months of it. You're going into week 17 with the playoffs at least even a glimmer of hope. Have a good night, everybody.
This has been the Jack Del Rio Show, brought to you by Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company, Ticket Exchange, and Community First Credit Union. Join us again next Tuesday night at 6 for your chance to talk to the head coach. The Jack Del Rio Show is a presentation of the WOKV Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.